Welcome to the Ask Dr. Deanna Show. I'm Dr. Deanna Osborne, your host. Join me weekly as I cover various health-related lifestyle medicine topics that you get to request. This show is for anyone who wants to proactively improve their health position. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Ask Dr. Deanna podcast. Glad that you are with me today. And today's topic, we are jumping ship. Last week, we talked a little bit about hormones. And today, we're going to move more into weight management, which is certainly a topic that is, on everybody's minds. If you did not get to listen to Fasting February series, we did a whole, four different episodes that were just specifically on intermittent fasting and kind of walking people through what that looks like on the day-to-day and so forth. So that is a great resource to have. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about weight management, about metabolism, and really I'm kind of going to do sort of three levels or three tiers. I'm calling it fast, faster, and fastest. And it's basically how to, where to start with weight management, kind of what you can add on and just sort of a buildable sort of plan, if you will, that just really works to get great results. And so really, for step one or tier one, I would call it fast, which it is fast when you implement a regular routine of intermittent fasting. You do get accelerated results. You get fantastic results. And the reason behind that is that you are having a positive impact on your metabolism. You are most likely moving from constantly burning sugar to burning more fat, which is really what we want from a fuel source. And so, I typically recommend that people start out with a 12-hour fast, whereby they are, not eating anything from dinner and on to, 12 hours, whatever that ends up being for you. And that works very, very well for most people. We typically will move people past that so that you really get into that fat burning. It takes about 12 hours to burn through the glucose that's already in your system. So after that, you actually start burning fat. So then I will move people very quickly to the 14-hour fast. And then after that, after they have that down, I'll move them to a 16-hour fast. Most people on average, I would say, who are implementing or integrating intermittent fasting into their plan will use a 16-8 program, which means that they fast for 16 hours, and then they have an 8-hour eating window in which they consume all of their calories. For me personally, I like to do a 16-8 most days, and about 2 days a week, I will do an 18-hour fast, maybe a little bit longer, just depends on what I've got going on. And, again, during the month of February, we talked a lot about how to break your fast, the fact that you need really good quality protein, the fact that you, want to incorporate good, healthy fats in the diet. And so all of those things just make this tool absolutely incredible. And for many people, when they implement just the intermittent fasting, they're able to lose weight. They're able to see an improvement in their metabolism. They're able to see some significant changes that are positive changes and that are helping to move them toward their weight management goals. But there's another level, and I would call this kind of the tier two, okay? So tier two would be you absolutely do intermittent fasting, okay? And then you add on a very powerful dietary tool. In addition, some people just like to fast and they don't want to even think about changing their diet at all. And I get that. But the tier two would be, in addition to the fasting, you are going to add on a diet change, which basically encompasses, for the most part, no sugar, no grains, and nothing to eat. Nothing to eat after dinner, for sure. So no sugar, no grains. And so let's talk a little bit about no sugar, no grain. Why that? We know that sugar is inflammatory. It absolutely is one of the number one causes of inflammation within the body. It is absolutely like throwing gasoline on a fire. It's just going to cause that fire to grow even more. We know that sugar is a food source for, different types of cancer as well. And so we want to lower the sugar content in the diet. I read a study that said in 1950, the average American consumed about 5 pounds of sugar over the course of a year. And today, that has increased dramatically to about 150 pounds, which is crazy to think that we could increase that much. But when you stop and think about a can of soda and the amount of sugar in a can of soda, it's somewhere between a fourth of a cup to a half a cup, depending on the size of that soda. And you think about the number of people drinking that, consistently throughout the day, you could see where if they were doing two, they would end up with just a cup of sugar just in that soda alone. That doesn't account for all the other sugar that is coming into their diet from other sources. So absolutely, I can see where they would get that statistic. But no sugar is a big, big part of decreasing the carbohydrate content. And when I say no sugar, no grains, really what I'm coaching my patients to do is to limit their carbohydrate consumption to 50 grams per day. This is for those of you who are either metabolically unfit or metabolically challenged. That means that you've got some weight to lose and, things are not functioning as well as they used to. So we're going to have that group of people limit carbs to no more than 50 grams per day. For some of my diabetics who are trying to get tight control with diet, I might drop them to 20 grams per day for a time, and then I will allow them to increase after that. But generally speaking, 50 grams a day, most people can do that and it is sustainable. So no sugar, no grain, because again, the grain is not essential to the diet. It is, carbohydrate. There are no essential carbs. We do have essential amino acids that comes in protein. We've got essential fats that comes through fat sources that it's essential we get it in our diet, but there are no essential carbs. It's not that all carbs are bad, because they're not. There are some good, healthy carbs out there. The problem is that most of our carbs today in the standard American diet come through a tremendous amount of sugar and then also a tremendous amount of grain that has been heavily processed, grain that has been sprayed with glyphosate, which is Roundup and has a lot of negative health effects in and of itself, grain that has been sprayed with other chemicals as well. That chemical residue remains on the grain. We end up then consuming it. It's not listed on the labels on our food. And it basically has a negative impact or a destruction, if you will, of the gut microbiome, which then causes a whole host of other problems, from autoimmune issues to gastrointestinal issues to a variety of issues, from joint pain to you name it. So many things that happen because of the destruction of the gut microbiome. And so, again, fast is that you adopt a level of intermittent fasting in your life. Faster would be that you do intermittent fasting, but that you also adopt a no sugar, no grain, no more than 50 grams of carbs in a day added on to that. And for most people, doing that plan is really all that it takes. Okay, that's usually the sweet spot. That is a sustainable program that gets results, that helps you to feel great, no matter what it is that you're doing in life. But then there's another level, another tier. And this is kind of a hot topic in the, out there right now, I guess I would say. And so I would call this the fastest. Okay, so again, another level. And that is for some people who... this is an option for some people who, have a massive amount of weight to lose. So I'm talking over 100 pounds, or for whatever reason, they are faced with something in their health and they really need to get control of their weight right now. Okay, so when I think about this category, I primarily think about my patients who have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Okay, they are going to end up needing a liver transplant by the age of 50 if they don't get this fatty liver under control. So this is someone that I would consider in this category. I have some patients with with morbid obesity as well. You know, they've got over 100 pounds that they need to lose. I've got some patients who are, of course, in that diabetic category. Maybe they are a newly diagnosed type 2 diabetic, borderline diabetic. You know, we know that the metabolism is not functioning properly. So for some people, it becomes an option to add on what we call a GLP-1 agonist. A GLP-1 agonist is a glucagon-like peptide. That's what it stands for. And this is a class of medication that was initially developed for type 2 diabetes to basically help slowing of the processing of food through the GI system, and to reduce the sugar that's being released into the bloodstream because of that, to help with insulin production and basically lowering the glucose levels. So the GLP-1 type medications are oftentimes heard. You'll hear them called semaglutide or tirzepatide. That would be Ozempic or Mounjaro. There are a tremendous number of other ones in that very same category. And basically, these medications have been highly effective for our diabetics. They do have a positive cardiovascular profile as well. So it's not uncommon for a cardiologist to reach out to me as the primary care physician and to ask me to start a patient on this particular medication, again, because of the benefits there. So there are some benefits. There is some use. I'm always the person who says, if diet and nutrition can get you there, that's definitely the way to go. You need a sustainable plan. The downside with some of those medications is that there are always side effects. And, one of the side effects that we commonly see is because of the slowing of the gastric emptying or the stomach emptying, sometimes you have, increased risks associated with that. So there's that. And then oftentimes you will hear, in different people talk about the loss of muscle mass with those particular products. Well, the bottom line is if you're losing 100 pounds, you're probably going to lose some muscle mass. But if you are aware of it, you can actually gain muscle while you are losing weight. You have to make sure that you're getting plenty of protein in your diet. That's really key. So when I see people in this category, or let's say that I'm starting one of these medications for one of my diabetic patients, I let them know, one of the side effects is weight loss. You will see some weight loss with this particular medication. It is really, really important that you are meeting your protein requirements during that time. And so typically, if you said, what are the protein requirements? Protein requirements vary depending on activity. It also varies depending on age to some extent. So you're going to see things kind of all over the board. But the general rule of thumb for protein intake in a day is you basically, your body weight in kilograms. Okay. And to get your body weight in kilograms, you basically just divide your pounds by 2.2, and that will tell you your number of kilograms. And then usually about 1 gram per kilogram of body weight is about what most people need. So for some people, that's going to come in right around 60 grams a day of protein. For some people, it's going to be closer to 100. So it varies. It is weight dependent, but it also is activity dependent. For somebody who is in the gym and they're, doing intense CrossFit, or maybe they are a runner and they're a long distance runner, they're putting a lot of miles in, then they're going to need more because those muscles are being very much torn down and they have to be repaired, regenerated, or built back up. The best way to build muscle is actually with amino acids. So a good protein source is key here. But again, going back and looking at what are the tiers for weight management, again, starting with the intermittent fasting, you cannot go wrong. So many health benefits with intermittent fasting. Tier 2 would be adding in that whole no sugar, no grain. That's going to be the key for most people. If they can get that down, keeping those carbs to 50 grams a day, they're going to see really fast results, really incredible results with that. And then finally, if you're in that category that you need a jump start or a little something more, to maybe you've tried these other things and you still feel like you're just not getting where you want to be, then considering adding on one of these GLP-1 agonist type of medications might be an option. So that's it. It's pretty much fast, faster, and fastest. It is, what everybody's talking about right now. now, and there's good, there's bad. But I think with everything, you know, there's no one size fits all with anything. Okay, there just isn't. In medicine, you know, there's not a one size fits all. It's not one type of medication for every single person because we are all different. We all have different side effects. We all have different reactions to a variety of medications and so forth. Always, I think it's the best if you can just stay medication free. If you can stay healthy with sustainable lifestyle, with sustainable practices, that's definitely going to be the best. And that is the thing that's going to lead to longevity as well. So thanks so much for joining me. Plug in next week to learn more with the team here at Ask Dr. Deanna. I hope you enjoyed that episode. For more information, visit me at deannaosborne.com. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dr. Deanna Osborne. I really want to hear from you, so message me. I love taking your messages and creating topics from them. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share my show with those who have an interest in health and wellness. Thank you for tuning in and see you next week.